Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Teach us. God, sometimes we are the last ones to look at ourselves. Lord, I pray that you would use your word to examine us and teach us and show us, build us. Lord, if we have sin in our heart, I pray that you would cleanse us of that sin. Lord, if there's someone here today not sure that they're saved, I pray that you would use your word to convince them of the truth of your word, and they would trust Christ as their Savior. Help me, Lord, as I preach, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was driving north of the city, and I found this compass in my house. Somebody had given it to us. It was it's one of those inexpensive compasses that you find at Canadian Tire or something like that. It couldn't have cost more than $10. I had my phone in the holder with the directions, and then on our car, as in many cars, there's a digital compass as well. So I made sure the digital compass was on, and I put this on the dash of the car, and then I'm glancing at my phone on my directions. And I'm realizing they don't all say the same thing. Right? I mean, the phone, the Google Maps, the directions, they're going to go where they're going to go. But I'm looking at the digital compass, then I'm looking at this. And those are two different directions. And then the Google Maps tells me to take a left. So I'm taking a left, and I'm noticing the digital compass changes, as it should. Right? This one doesn't change. It doesn't spin. It's not spinning. So I put it in my hand, and I'm driving, and I'm kind of glancing down at it. I'm like, what is going on with this compass? Right? So later, I looked up reasons why a compass may not work. Fact is, these little compasses are kind of delicate, kind of sensitive. There can be outside forces, lots of metal, perhaps all of the metal in the car, that can make this thing not work so great. It's a good thing I'm not just depending on this compass to get me places. Right? Sometimes it can be like that in life. Where am I going again? Where am I supposed to be going again? Why am I here? What's going on? Is it me? Am I the one that's broken? Am I the one that's giving a misread? It's so easy when things start going sideways to start looking for explanations. Why is this happening? Where am I going? If something is broken, where does it need to be fixed? David finds himself in a cave once again. We're going to go and we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter number 20. This is one of the stories of David in a cave we haven't looked at yet. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. First Samuel chapter 22. Saul, King Saul, is trying to kill him. And David is on the run. 1 Samuel 22 and verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. It doesn't sound like a very good hiding place if they heard about it and you've got this big troop of people coming. Seems like Saul, King Saul, could find that, right? Just follow the crowd. Anyway, verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. There were with him about 400 men. David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. It's interesting to see that David is, he's going through some things, right? He's got this outside pressure of King Saul. Things are not going according to the plan for his life. He's anointed to be king. He defeats Goliath. And then everything from that point, that was the high point in his life for a long time. And everything starts going sliding down. And he goes and he hides himself in this cave. His parents find out about it. Isn't it funny when your parents find out about stuff? Right? And they're being a parent. That's fine. That's what they do. That's what they're supposed to do. They care. They're wanting to help out. So they come down, right? And they talk to him. And then he goes and it says, Mom, Dad, I've got to take you over and I've got to put you in a safe spot. So he puts him in a safe spot. And then he goes back to the cave. The Bible says he goes back to the hold. He goes back to the cave. He goes back to his little fortress, his place of hiding, right? But isn't it interesting to see that when David is in the cave, the Bible says that there were about 400 men who had problems. That's us. That's me. That's all of us, right? Here he is. He's got problems. David's got some problems. And then they're looking to all of these people. They're coming up to David, 400 of them, and saying, hey, we've got problems too. Can you be our leader? So here's a guy with a lot of problems in hiding in the cave, trying to do right by his parents. And just like, listen, he's just trying to survive this. He's literally just trying to survive. He's trying to hide and he's trying to survive. And then he's got all these people that are coming to him saying, hey, we want to follow you. Well, added pressure. All this added pressure. It's so easy in this time, and each time David was in a cave, and he used these caves often. There's two that are mentioned in the Bible, but he uses them whenever he really needs to hide. Sometimes he'd go to the wilderness, sometimes he'd go to these caves. That we also read he goes to the forests, right? He's hiding in the trees. He hid a lot. He was always hiding. He's always hiding out. And at some point, you've got to become introspective. You've got to look inside and say, is this me? Is God trying to teach me something, or is this a result of my sin? When we begin to ask the question, if everything's going right, usually that's not when we ask, is it me? Usually when things start going badly, that's when we begin to start asking these questions. And so when David is in the cave in Psalm 143, he first starts out with prayer, and we covered this last week. He sincerely called, okay? When we begin to ask the question, it's not just us seeking out our own heart, trying to figure out if we are doing something wrong. We need an outside perspective. And yes, we can talk to a godly friend, and yes, we can call up the pastor, and yes, we can talk to some people, and we can read books, and we can do these things, or we can even YouTube it, or even Google it. Right? Why do I feel bad? Google doesn't know. It has no idea. And I'm sure they're going to try to come up with some kind of technology. Well, they'll use your smartwatch and your heart rate and your body temperature and some other kind of factors. And they'll be like, this is, you know, kind of a new and improved mood ring. You guys remember mood rings? Oh my goodness, mood rings. Right? But we need to ask sincerely. We need to go to the Lord and ask sincerely from our heart. How do we know if we're asking sincerely? We're asking sincerely when we sincerely want an answer. Okay? If we're going and we're trying to just knock on the door, we don't really care if somebody answers. But if we really want to be heard, then we're going to make sure that we're loud. Oftentimes when we're asking, is it me, we're not sincerely asking the Lord. We don't really want to know. Okay? Sometimes that's just the truth. We don't really want to know. He says in verse number 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Ouch, I didn't mean to do that. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. Okay? I was reading about George Mueller. We talked about him on Wednesday. Great man of faith. God used his prayers to feed many thousands of orphans over a long period of time. And his prayer life revolutionized when he began to use the Bible as a prayer book. He would take the Psalms and he would begin to pray the Psalms. He would pray the Bible, and not just in the Psalms, but other places as well. And so oftentimes when we're asking, Lord, is it me? Instead of us just asking the Lord, sometimes one of the things that will help assist us in our prayer life and guide us in our prayer life is if we were to actually come to something like Psalm 143. And as we read it, that will be our prayer to God. Hear me, O God, right? Sometimes we just don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to connect with God. Sometimes we may think my prayer life is ambiguous. I don't really know if I'm doing this right or if I'm doing this wrong. And so that's just a suggestion. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And this leads us to the second point. We need to pray sincerely. But the next thing is that we need increased sensitivity to sin. An increased sensitivity to sin. He says in verse number 2, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. It is normal, it is natural when we begin to go through a change, especially if it's a painful change, when we become introspective to say, Lord, is it me? And then begin to ask, is there some sin that I'm harboring in my heart? If I'm harboring sin in my heart, I'm knowingly keeping my heart conditioned a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, if I'm knowingly living in such a way or doing such a thing or harboring a particular attitude that is against God and he's trying to correct me for that, God will not hear my prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I can't save a seat for my sin and then go off and serve the Lord and then come back to my sin. That is not the way it works. Things will get dark for you. Things will become confusing. You'll begin to feel feelings of depression and frustration and anger. You can possibly slip back into old habits. There's all kinds of things. We begin dwelling in the hold, dwelling in the cave. Here's David living in fear. And here comes the prophet Gad, the Bible says, and he says, stop hiding. David, stop hiding. Go out and do what you're supposed to be doing. And so often, if we don't allow the Lord to examine our heart, we will live in hiding. We won't have the courage we need to have. We won't have the decisiveness that we need to have. And not fleshly decisiveness, but we won't have the holy boldness that comes that we're confidently walking with the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. We're not going to sense God's presence in that closeness if we are saving a seat for a favorite sin or for a sin that we think we can't get victory over. We're going to take just a moment and look at, or we're going to look at sin. How can sin, this is a great question, listen to this question. How can sin in my heart result in me living in a cave physically? I mean, that's a great question to ask of David. How can something that's in my heart change the circumstances of my life? Because we can become good at trying to give the appearance that everything is okay. We can learn to do the right things in our life, make the right schedule, show up at the right time. Maybe our face smiles at the right time. We give the correct greeting. Everything seems to be going along. But there's something in our heart that is not right with God, and our whole life begins to slide in a direction, and then we're sitting there and saying, whoa, 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 where am I going? How come this isn't working? How did I end up here? We've got to understand, your feet follow your heart. Your feet follow your heart. the condition of your heart predetermines the route of your life. Your current location on Google Maps, it always starts with your current location. The little blue pin drop is right there. And then you enter in your destination and it gives you the directions. But you can change that. You can say, I don't want the directions. I don't need the directions. I don't want the directions from my current location. I want them from my house to my work and not where I'm at right now specifically. And you can change that. Let me tell you something. If we want to know, is it me? You always have to start with your current location. You always have to drop the pin right where you're standing and say, God, where am I at right now? And not physically, okay? But spiritually, where am I at right now? Where is my heart? Is my heart acting like everything's fine with me and the Lord? Is my heart pretending? Is my heart cold to the things of God? Is my heart, listen, has my heart been stolen away by some other thing or some other person or some other pleasure or some other sin? And my heart is far away from the Lord. We need to drop the pin right now. We need to allow God to reveal to us, this is where you are. This is exactly where you are. Because oftentimes we can devise our own method of telling us, where am I at in my life right now? And we can come out and say, I think I'm perfectly fine. And yet what happens? Our life gets darker and darker and more frustrating. And we finally need to humble ourselves and come before the Lord, sincerely pray. And then we need an increased sensitivity to sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart is the driver's seat of your life. Whoever's sitting in the driver's seat, that is the one who determines where the vehicle is going. Your heart is the captain's wheel of the ship, no matter how big the ship is. That's your heart. That is where your heart is. Your heart is what determines the outcome of your life. It determines the direction of your life. It determines whether or not your relationship with the Lord is vibrant and full of life, or your heart determines, the condition of your heart determines if you're just not feeling it at all and it's cold and dark and lifeless and dead. Let me tell you something. Christ did not stay in the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And that's supposed to be the vitality of our life as a Christian. We're supposed to have this life. It doesn't mean we're on a high every day. That's not Bible. That's fleshly. Okay? But we are supposed to have a life where we're connected with God. We have a relationship. We can pray and we can get an answer from God every single day. We're supposed to have fellowship with Him every single day. And if I'm allowing my heart to slide away from God and become cold in sin. Listen, guys. We are either finding pleasure in God, or we're trying to find pleasure, that same source, in something or someone else. And if we're not finding that soul's pleasure in the Lord, then our heart is growing cold. We're finding it somewhere else. Psalm 139. Verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God. Psalm 139, 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me, and know my thoughts. Make a thorough investigation of my heart. Investigate me. Investigate me. Come look at me. Try to find out what is going on in my heart and in my life. Don't leave me alone. Listen, things can become dark and confusing in our life when we want God to leave us alone. I'm fine just the way I am. Is that your heart today?
Is that your heart today?
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oftentimes we go to God because we don't want to be living in the cave, but we don't want to change our heart either. The cave and the circumstances and the darkness and the depression and the frustration and the restriction, all of these feelings, all of these things need to lead us to ask the question, is it me? Is my heart really right with the Lord, or am I just pretending like it is? And by the way, we're not the ones that decide if we're right with God. God is the one that tells us if we're right with Him. We don't have the perspective. Our compass is faulty. Our compass is faulty. Our heart cannot determine whether or not we are right. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all. I'm following my heart. Everything should be fine. Listen, don't follow your heart. That's the world's philosophy. That is not Bible. I'm following my heart, and they told me if I followed my heart, everything would work out. That's not true. That's not true. We're not to follow our heart. We're supposed to follow the Lord. How do we know if we're following the Lord? We know we're following the Lord by His Spirit and by His Word. By His Spirit and by His Word. He says, don't enter into judgment with me in verse number 2. Please don't look at me through the eyes of justice. David is pleading that God looks upon him through the eyes of grace and mercy. In caves, we are insistent on our cleanliness, on our innocence. It's not my fault. But we need to go to God and say, would you adjust my perspective? Would you show me what you see? Would you show me the adjustment that I need to make? It's so important to go to God's word for God's perspective. Psalm 33 and verse number 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Listen, this book is just as legitimate to follow in 2020 as it was in 1920, as it was in the year 1120, as it was in the year of 20. Okay? Again, look at the verse. It says, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. We can trust His word. We can trust the perspective of His word. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know what doesn't change when you're in the cave? The counsel of the Lord. You know what doesn't change when you feel feelings of depression? Listen, look at me. Oftentimes we doubt this. But whatever feeling we have coursing through our body at the moment, we take that as the absolute gospel truth. I feel this way, therefore it's real. Really? Really? Because when I drink a good cup of coffee, my feelings often change. Come on, let's be real. We can feel a certain way because of the weather outside. What is it, 7 degrees and raining out right now? Most people just aren't naturally peppy when that happens. Well, it's raining and cold. I'm giving this illustration because you guys are all here, and this is an easy one because you guys have done the opposite of this. You've done the right thing. Okay? Here's an easy illustration. Wake up on Sunday morning, 5 degrees and raining. Well, I'm pretty sure God doesn't want me to go to church today because he's crying. It's raining out. He's crying. I just feel it. And you guys are a tough crowd too, by the way, right now. Huh? Okay, but what does the Bible say? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right? So, if I've got the feelings, well, I had a bad day yesterday and I feel depressed. Legitimate things. Okay, but what does the Bible say? You're like, look, God's perspective is outside the cave.
You realize oftentimes the reason why we feel the way we feel is because we're just cocooned in this little life. We've got our schedules, we've got the people, we've got the problems. It's like being in a cave. God is outside the cave. He knows how to get you from where you are to out to where you need to be.
Yesterday, when we were out giving out tracts, the guys, we went to one side of the street over, and the streets were nice and straight. I like doing putting tracts in mailboxes on streets that are nice and straight, right? You don't get lost. You don't have to use your phone. You don't have to think as much, right? You just can just, you know, boom, 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 and you can peek up the road and say, yep, there's Queensway right there, or there's Bloor, or wherever we're at. There we are. I know exactly where I am. Okay. But yesterday the ladies, and this is just the way they were on the other side, and the roads just, they squirreled all over the place. And I promise you, one of the ladies or more got out their phone and they used the map to try to figure out, where are we going? April did. Miss Sonia's hand is up. Everybody, look, we need an outside perspective to show us, where am I and how do I get out of here? That is what this does for the Christian. That's what this does for the Christian. My heart is not the instrument I need to trust. It doesn't give an accurate reading. Guys, this is gold right here. This is good stuff. I need to hear this stuff. This needs to be preached every single day to ourselves, in our room, in the mirror, when you wake up in the morning. Don't trust your heart. Trust the Word of God. This is the one that is accurate. This, your heart, is not the one that's accurate. Well, how do you know that? Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. What enemy? What enemy is he talking about? Specifically, historically, who is he talking about? He's talking about King Saul. And these guys that are literally trying to kill him. Okay? He talks about it in verse number 3. And look at verse number 12. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies. There it is, plural. And destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Two enemies that afflict our souls. Satan himself. Spiritual warfare. Guys, come on. If you're trying to do the right thing, Satan will attack your heart to try to get you to think a certain way, feel a certain way. He wants you to walk by doubt and not by faith. He wants you to walk by sight and not by faith. We need a fixed point to guide us. Your heart is not a fixed point. It is not the North Star. It is not the magnetic core of the Earth's crust up somewhere kind of by the North Pole, but not really the North Pole. That's confusing, and I looked that up, and I'm not a scientist, but that's what it said. This thing doesn't point to true north, and this one definitely doesn't because it's kind of broken. Our heart is not the fixed point that we consult with every day. It can't be. That means my feelings are not always accurate. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. You realize Satan can plant a thought in your heart about some other Christian or some other person, and you can have this whole story. And at the end, somehow you both got swords and you're just dueling to the death. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? How did I get to some little tiny offense to now we're sitting there dueling with swords and I've got them at sword point? I say, brother, what kind of thoughts do you have? I'm confessing. We've got these crazy narratives that happen in our minds sometimes. And the next time you see that person, you're tempted to say, "Hur." You growl and snarl and say, "I know what you did." Well, listen. The enemy of our heart, the enemy of our soul is Satan. And he can inflame
and he can accuse and he can tempt. We are fighting a spiritual warfare. We need an outside perspective that is accurate. Listen, listen, please listen to me. This is why meditation does not work. Mindfulness is garbage. Why? What? Where's the outside perspective in mindfulness? Where is the outside perspective in meditation? Brother, is it sin to just close your eyes and listen to yourself breathe? No, the Bible doesn't say that. But what I'm telling you is your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Mine is too. If you've been saved for 45 years, yours is too. If you've been saved for an hour, yours is too. And that stuff comes from Buddhism and Hinduism. Good people, but ones who don't have an outside perspective. God's perspective. And that stuff teaches you to look inside for the answer. Oh no, just stop feeling. Just listen to yourself breathe and just kind of let yourself go. Let myself go where? You're lost on glory. You're not exactly sure where you're at. You're off in some little neighborhood, some little pig trail handing out tracts. Here's what we should do. Here's what we should do. We should take our mask, pull it over our eyes, and just feel ourselves home. Huh? Let me just feel my way home. Does that sound like a good idea? I'm going to listen to myself breathe, and it's going to show me how to get out. Do not fall for that. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That means, listen, that means if God leads me to make a decision today on His Word, and I feel, if I make a decision today based on His Word, and I feel differently tomorrow, should I change? Should I change my decision? Ooh. No. Listen, we don't change by logic tomorrow a decision we've made today by faith. We don't change a decision tomorrow by logic that we've made today by faith. My feelings will change. Sometimes I don't sleep well. Sometimes you don't sleep well. Sometimes I sleep awesome. Sometimes you sleep awesome. Sometimes, you know what? I shouldn't have eaten that. At least not that late. And I'm at that age now, and I'm not that old, but I'm there. Sometimes, listen, I still feel like I'm 16 years old, and I can guzzle down coffee at 9 o'clock at night, and it tastes good, and I'm ready to go. But come 3 in the morning, I'm thinking, that was a mistake. Amen. So, listen. So the next morning, I need to realize that there's a lot of things that are affecting the way that I feel. That does not change God's Word. COVID doesn't change God's Word. Amen. COVID doesn't change God's Word. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for an outside perspective? Aren't you thankful for a God that loves us enough? You listen. You want to know why God does not reveal Himself? Why did He write a book? And why didn't He just come down on earth and just kind of show Himself to everybody individually? Like every generation, every single time. It's actually pretty subjective. There are people that looked Jesus right in the eyeballs and didn't believe He was who He said He was. But this book, it is what it is every single day. It is what it is every single day. It's genius that He wrote a book. It can be translated in any language.
our hearts change. And there's so many things that can influence our heart and change our hearts. Enemies, the enemies of our soul. Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And look at this last one and we'll be done. Look at verse number 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. This is the last point. Look at the verbs that are used here. Verse 8, cause me to hear. Sometimes we just don't hear it. We need God's help. God, help me hear your loving kindness. Help me to hear your sweet voice. Cut through the fog and confusion of life. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Deliver me, verse 10, teach me to do thy will. The last point is this. Is it me? Are you calling sincerely? Do you really want to be heard? Do you really want to know the answer? You really want to know the answer? What about your sensitivity to sin? Are you willing to admit, yeah, you know what? It could be me. There could be something in my heart. I could be following my own heart, following my own flesh, following something else. I'm not following the Lord, and that's why I'm a little bit confused. That's why I find myself in a cave, emotionally, relationally. There's so many applications. The last one is this. You know what caves do? You know what they help us? They help us realize. They bring us to an openness of direction. We're finally down to the point where, okay, I'm calling, I'm admitting, I'm not sensitive to sin. We can all work on that. God, show me if it's me. But then, now that the sin's out of the way, now that it's confessed, now we're finally clean enough, sensitive enough for the direction. You ever been stubborn about where you were? Stubborn about, no, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. Guys, traditionally, that's the stereotype. We never want to ask for directions. And it is true for some guys, I guess. It's true for some girls, too. But there finally comes a point in everybody's life where it's just like, you know what? God, I just need for you to lead me. I'm ready for you to guide me. I'm going to stop trying to figure it out on my own. I'm just going to simply trust. I'm going to trust your guidance. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Thou shalt guide me. I'm going to stop trying to listen. The sweet release of just giving up and saying, God, I don't get it. I don't know what you want. I'm going to go to you. I want you to show me if there's any sin in my life. I sincerely want you to hear me. I'll confess it. I'll forsake it. I'll change. And then I want you to just guide me. God, you lead me. Guide me. I'm not going to try to figure this out anymore. You realize from the time that David was anointed, he was about 17. And if I've got my maths calculated correctly, he was at least 45 or so before he finally became king. It was a long time. That was not a straight path. Anointing to be king, and then the next day, boom, there he is. It took a while. And God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. He knows where he wants to take you. You can trust him. He's got the outside perspective. It doesn't change. And we need to come to him and humbly say, will you guide me with your spirit and with your word? Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes.